Hey everyone, welcome to 10 Movies, the podcast where we dig into the work of one actor through 10 of their movies. I'm Hemel, with me is Brian. This season, we are rolling through the works of Mr. Matthew McConaughey.
I am so pleased to be here every week in your lavishly appointed podcasting studio talking about the critically acclaimed, beloved works of Kate Hudson.
This episode, we're going to look at the 2003 romantic comedy, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Starring Kate Hudson and what's his name?
Some guy.
McConaughey.
Mr. Matthew McConaughey. And a bunch of other people. This movie is not cast heavy. It's very Kate Hudson, Matthew McConaughey heavy.
It does, yeah, but it does have a lot of those like, oh right, I recognize that, like that person went on to do other minorish roles and things. There's a lot of that guy and that lady.
Yeah, but this movie is this iconic, well, I use the term iconic very loosely. It's a movie that has, I don't even want to say held up because I don't think it's held up. It's a movie that's basically rerun into the ground on basic cable. Very typical of the early 2000s romantic comedy formula, right? Like leans very heavy on romantic comedy tropes. And I think it's beloved. I think people like it.
They do. Well, so here's the interesting thing to me.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey, as we have observed, his career went into a great trough where he just phoned in romantic comedies for a good decade. We watched The Wedding Planner, episode 2. Go back and check it out. A terrible film. Hemel was very excited about it.
I really like The Wedding Planner.
It's no
planner.
Good. But when you look on the internet to see what and when you talk to people who've watched a lot of McConaughey films, who watch the romantic comedies, How to Lose a Guy, The Wedding Planner seems to be a favorite, but How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is probably the favorite. I enjoyed it far more than I was expecting to because you had set it up poorly, and you, it appears, hated anew after watching it again.
Yeah, I was initially reluctant to do How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days because I remember my initial reaction to seeing it was like visceral hatred. Turns out
visceral
I was right.
Hatred is very strong.
No, that's what it is. It turns out I was right because I don't think I made it 30 minutes into the movie without wildly texting Brian and being like, I cannot suffer through the rest of this.
So now what happens in the film How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days starring Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson?
All right. I think I can do a better job of trying to summarize this. It's certainly easier than Interstellar.
I would say the movie has an Interstellar-like plot. The vast epic complexity, galaxy-spanning story of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
True love is never easy. we've got a woman, Andy. She's got a very gender-neutral name. Is a romance. No, she is a columnist at a magazine. And
it's Cosmopolitan, right? That's the. Or is it just women's magazine?
It's called Composure.
Early 2000s.
It's called Composure, but it doubles as any women's magazine.
It's all like how to give yourself an orgasm when your dude is watching football kind of stuff.
Yeah, she's a columnist, but she wants to be more, right? She is writing women's columns for a lifestyle magazine, but it's not good enough for her. She wants to write about politics.
Every character and every woman character in all these movies is like, oh, I write this stupid crap, but I want to do. Like, Ugly Betty did that way better.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to get into this.
Right,
get into this because we're still on, like, the first scene of the film here.
Anyway, the movie we were watching is How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, starring Kate Hudson and Martin Short.
So, but yeah, she's a columnist, and she wants to write about more meaningful things.
Which the character doesn't appear to know much about. I want to write about politics and the world.
Matthew McConaughey is a advertising executive who is a few steps above sleazy. He's rakish, caddish.
Yeah.
And he is trying to land this big diamond account. She is trying to maneuver her way into a more serious beat at this magazine. And she sets up a little boondoggle with her editor that she's going to write this column about how to lose a guy in 10 days so that her editor will let her do more ambitious things.
Yeah, she's going to do all the most annoying things that you can do in a relationship to chase a dude away.
Right. So she's after her career.
Meanwhile,
Matthew McConaughey is trying to land this very lucrative diamond account. Like, he wants to lead the charge on marketing diamonds. But for him to do that, his coworkers set it up so that he's got to make a girl fall in love with him in 10 days. And the big climax scene is supposed to happen at this, like, fancy party, right? Like, he is supposed to bring this woman who is in love with him to a fancy party. And then the boss is like, well, hey, if you can do that, that means that you can land this account. makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, I actually, so let me say this about that. You know, I sense the premise. Like,
right.
You know, you kind
of sense what anyway, it's, that's the premise of the movie.
But I think it's actually, I hate to say it because you look really angry, but it's certainly not clever. But, like, if you're going to do a romantic comedy,
yes.
You've got to set up some, like, artificial
right,
conflict for you. This one is actually, like, kind of, like, it's not plausible.
Right.
But if you suspend disbelief enough to watch romantic comedy, I kind of actually like the duality of it and how they worked these two characters into having to do this 10 days worth of dumb stuff.
So this is the first time anybody has used the word duality to describe how to lose a guy in 10 days. But I am not against the artificialness. Because that is one of the big tropes of romantic comedy, right? Is this like contrived narrative that
right.
pushes
oh,
two people together?
Oh, they can't get together because she's got a dog and he's got a hat.
But the end is, of course, everything unravels after a whole bunch of, you know, comedic mishaps. They actually do end up falling in love, but everything unravels until there is a big, grand romantic gesture at the end of it, and
couldn't
they
have
get
seen
together.
That coming.
Nobody knew that was going to happen.
And then they get killed.
Because they're on the side of a bridge with traffic zooming
by. Oh, yeah,
they
should have gotten killed.
But yeah, so that is the plot, the loose construction of the plot for How to mm-hmm. Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Now, do you want to talk about the cast of the film, or do you want to get right into your visceral hatred?
Well, we can talk about the cast of the film, because my visceral hatred for this is going to come leaking through towards every bit of this.
It's really just the two of them. It's McConaughey and Hudson.
They're the primaries. Catherine Hahn, I think, is good in this.
Catherine Hahn is good in this. And Annie Parise... Who plays the other friend?
Uh-huh.
She was one of the, you know how Law & Order had like a different lady ADA
yes.
every season? She
yes.
had one season. I don't know that she's particularly good in anything, but she's adorable. She was one of my celeb crushes in the early 90s.
Oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Shalom Harlow. That's a name that I haven't heard in a really long
Who's
time.
That?
She is the two women who are after the Diamond account. She is not Michael Michelle. She's the other one.
I didn't recognize her.
That's Shalom Harlow.
I recognize Michael Michelle from ER and a brief run on House.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this is not heavy casting. It is very much...
Oh, and Lilith from Cheers is the evil boss at the magazine.
B.B. Newirth.
Yeah, right. Excuse me. Sorry.
But yes, unlike Interstellar, which was just huge cameos and every single character really mattered, there's a lot of extra weight here, which is people rounding out their lives.
There's not a lot of heavy acting lifting to do when you're like best friend number two of the
exactly.
female lead.
But this is a Kate Hudson, Matthew McConaughey vehicle straight up.
And did you feel that... how did you feel about the chemistry between the two romantic leads?
This is a complicated question because...
This is where your hatred will start leaking through.
I think it will, but I think they had good chemistry in the scenes where they were allowed to have good chemistry.
Yeah, I felt so too. Like, again, and not deeply invested in this movie, but I could... Were it not for all the dumb stuff keeping them apart, I could believe that they were into each other.
Yeah, there are a few moments where it's actually enjoyable to watch this film, and that is when they have good chemistry, right? There's this montage in the middle of the film when she is visiting his parents.
Yes, she goes to visit his family.
And that is when they have great chemistry together because she's allowed to be normal and he's allowed to be Matthew McConaughey. I'm not sure how much acting is actually happening in this film.
Yeah, this is a very McConaughey role. He's just, this is the part of his career when he's like, you know what? I have surfed for good looks. I'm very charming. I take my shirt off a bunch. And that's all he does in the movie. There's even a scene where he takes his shirt off at work.
In his office.
In his office. And it cuts to like all the secretaries like, woo.
Listen, ladies, if a guy that hot is taking his shirt off at work, go ahead and stare. HR will be fine.
So I texted you to say like, oh, you know what? That wasn't as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
100 times better than The Wedding Planner.
Yeah.
And you texted back, this movie hates women.
I think that this movie actually does hate women because I'm not sure any of the women in this movie like themselves. Right? First off, the premise of it is about policing women's behavior. Right? We all know that there are certain behavioral things or certain things in relationships that you're not supposed to do. Like, hey, don't be too needy, stuff like that. But this movie is all about policing women's behavior, right? It polices Catherine Hahn for being too emotional or too mm-hmm. weird at the very beginning. Kate Hudson, the entire premise is here's everything you should not do
right.
in a relationship.
But she is doing genuinely, like, inappropriate, annoying things.
Right, but these are not inappropriate, annoying things. What she's doing is, like, batshit insanity things.
Right.
It's not like, hey, I'm texting you a little too much. It's like, she literally buys him a dog 3 days after
she makes a photo album of what their children are going to look
like. Right, and I understand that this is for exaggeration, but the underlying coda here is that women should not be too annoying, women should not be too needy. What they should be is Kate Hudson, who is cool.
The real Andy.
The real Andy.
Like, she loves to go to the game.
She's
and
like
eat a hot
into
dog.
Basketball and eats meat. This woman said, there's very... The part about the film is that there's only one way to be a good woman in this film, and that is to be Andy. And that is to be not be too needy, to love sports, to eat meat, and to be super cool with your guy doing whatever he wants to do. Because if you show a little too much, right? Like, if you are a little too needy, well, that's reason for him to kick you to the curb.
Now, is the movie saying that...
Yes. That's what the movie is saying.
Is the movie saying that, like, yeah, that, like, the true Andy, the good Andy, is the only good... Or is it saying that, like, for the McConaughey character, that's
no.
the woman that he's going to truly
no.
fall in love
with? No. And so this is the point I'm getting to, is that there are no other good ways to be women in this film, because every other female character is shown as incredibly flawed. Her best friends, like, there's one who's really neutral, right? Like, she's just there as a support system. We don't know anything about her.
Yeah, she's neither. She's neutral.
She's totally neutral. Catherine Hahn is like, oh God, you don't want to be Catherine Hahn, right? Because she's like crying over a breakup and wearing a frumpy nightgown, and oh my God, she was only dating him for a week. That's not the good way to be a woman. You also don't want to be Bebe Neuwirth, who is like predicted as like cold and unfeeling because she's the boss and she's like a shark. You also don't want to be the two female colleagues.
The conniving ad agency types.
Ad agency types. So what am I supposed to be here? I can't be too career ambitious because that makes me a bitch. I can't be too needy because then I'm Catherine Hahn and nobody will love me. So the only person left to be is Andy. So it's this walking this fine line of you got to love the Knicks and you have to be able to eat meat because God forbid you want to try tofu every now and then. The codes for women are so flippin' strict in this film.
Yes.
There's literally only one way to be.
I see exactly what you're saying. I don't know that I read some, like, the Catherine Hahn character, she's the comic relief and she's the mess. Like, I feel like we see a lot of her, and I don't think we were encouraged to, like, mock or dislike her, right? Like,
you are at the very beginning,
at the very beginning when she's melting down, and like, it's like, oh, she didn't really know this guy, she's flipping out over him. But then, like, she does, like, she helps her friend, she's kind of funny, she's...
Right, but... It's still, you're not supposed to want to be Catherine Hahn.
Yeah, she's a cautionary tale.
She's a cautionary tale, right? This entire film is about how women should behave. This is not a romantic comedy. It's about women, if you don't behave the right way, no one will love you.
And his friends, who are a couple other actors that you kind of half recognize, you're right. His friends are, like, they're not heroic or anything. You're not supposed to want to be them, but they're fine, right? They're living their lives. They're other kinds of dudes that you could be.
Right.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, they're also vaguely neutral because we don't spend a lot of time on the other lives of men. But the other thing is that we don't actually see a lot of how Matthew McConaughey behaves independent of Kate Hudson's actions, because everything that he does is a reaction to what
she
does.
She's doing crazy crap and he has to not show that it bothers him.
Exactly. So we don't even, like, this whole movie is set up in the sense that she is kind of the villain in this because she's putting him through all this stuff. And the empathy that you feel is not for her. The empathy is that you feel for him because you're like, this poor guy's got to put up with her even though we know why she's doing it.
No, I don't. So I do. I think I see what you're saying with the very limited lens through which the movie views women and what they can be. I agree with you, and I appreciate you saying that. I don't know that, like you said before we watched this, like, oh, the movie, like, she's the villain, it's making fun of her the whole time. I didn't really get that. Like, I felt like where the movie's trying to get its comic energy from is, like, the two of them who, you know, they're actually very kindred souls, but they're both put on this act, and that's the conflict.
Right.
I did feel like the movie, I didn't think at all that you're supposed to dislike Kate Hudson and feel sympathetic for him. I felt like you're supposed to equally feel like they're both putting on this show, and you like when their true self comes through.
So I think that the movie doesn't want you to feel that way, but that's how I felt. Mm. It was definitely the Kate, especially the part of the early part of the film, you know, when she's like leaning into all her crazy behavior, is it is very, it's not charming in any way. It is like she's a psycho, right? Like they do not walk that line. And I understand why you have to do this for a movie. It's over exaggerated, but it's like disturbing and irritating and in no way charming.
They do set it up that like, so yeah, the characters are both like pretending to be something they're not. She has to be like awful.
Yeah.
And he has to be extra charming. Like
overly
not,
solicitous.
Yeah, like they're not
yeah.
mirrors of each other's behavior.
No. And you understand why he's doing it and you understand why she's doing it. But literally all of it is about telling women what not to do.
So you feel that the narrative device of like, oh, she's doing this for these reasons does not excuse like the ultimate message of what the film is saying.
I don't understand why she did any of it anyway. Like she ends up falling in love with a guy and then she decides that she's going to quit her job in publishing as a columnist for a major national magazine because she can't write about Middle Eastern issues with no background whatsoever as a white lady.
And she somehow gets a job interview the day she quits in Washington, D.C.
Right. And she quits before, it's just a job interview, right? Like she quits before she even has this job. And then it's not made clear, but the assumption is that she's not going to go through with this thing that she wanted because she loves Matthew McConaughey.
It is interesting to me to be the one listening to the other person in the podcast shriek and rant about a movie that doesn't matter. I've gained a new insight into your experience every week.
But okay, so at the very
end. No, I see
end,
what you're saying. Yeah, she did make this big life choice. She's
yeah.
going off to Washington, but she throws it all. And he even explicitly says, like, don't go to Washington, D.C., baby. Come back and live with me. I got a lot of money.
Well, not even that, but he tells her how she's really feeling. There's a line, there's in that scene at the very end of the film, she's like, I don't want to do this right now. You're being a crazy stalker. This is not charming. This is actually putting everybody in danger.
Because they're on the Manhattan Bridge in traffic.
Right. And she's like, read the article, whatever. I got to get back in the cab. And he's like, but is that how you're really feeling? Because I know how you're really feeling. Like, what? She has no agency whatsoever in this film.
Yeah, that's a very fair point. And more than you talk about this, I see what you're saying, right? That like, yeah, the good Andy, the like
yeah.
sports watching, hot dog chomping, hot visit your family girl is the right girl.
Right.
And yeah, there's no...
And we understand, everybody knows that crazy Andy is bad Andy, but it's coded language for like all the behaviors that women are not allowed to exhibit. Don't be needy. Don't request emotional validation from other, you know, from your partner. Don't request that you be a part of his life.
Mm.
Let men have their boys' nights. You know, why would any lady want to intrude on a men's night?
Right. She does. She goes to the boys' night and she's being crazy.
Yeah.
But you're right. The very premise is that like, oh, not. Yeah, it's very like these very like strict, rigid gender norms that these supposedly like enlightened young women living in New York are all bound by.
Exactly. So you're supposed to think that she's this like cool professional girl and she's like
she's
a
cool
super
chick.
Feminist. But she's, I think it's like Gillian Flynn was talking about in Gone Girl. She's like the cool girl, right? Like she doesn't care if you sleep around with other guys. Like she doesn't care. Like she can drink beers at the bar with everybody else. But it's a very like rigid type that is seen through a male gaze versus being seen through a female gaze in terms of like what women are actually like.
Yes. Well, now I am ashamed.
We spent way too long talking about it, but like I just cannot let that go. That being said, do we still want to talk about
it? In order to be an ally, I will retract my earlier comment that I didn't mind this movie, and the misogyny sickens me.
I have no fun at parties.
No, I do think you're exactly right that, like, there's... I mean, it's a romantic comedy, so
right.
rigid gender roles are very much the order of the day. But yeah, in this case, the movie is trying to give itself a pass, but you know, if you peel that top layer off, it's still like this is the box that you need to be in. Now, to return briefly to the ostensible subject of our podcast,
yeah, for the last 4 minutes,
Mr. McConaughey, how did you feel? What did you feel was the McConaughey-ness of the film? Well, how does he hang for you in this piece?
Okay, he's great in this movie.
He's great in this movie? You hate the movie.
I hate the movie.
He's great in it?
I hate the movie.
I don't think greatness can apply to a movie like this.
I think that he is... all right, can I take it down to very good? Because this is everything that Matthew McConaughey is supposed to be good at.
Yeah, this is like you open the McConaughey box and these are all the pieces that you get. He's rakish, he's charming, he's shirtless, he's handsome, he's all American.
He's confident while still being laid back.
Sexy,
you know?
But non-threatening.
Exactly. And we talked about this in The Wedding Planner, which is that all of that stuff about him actually worked against him in The Wedding Planner because it made him out into a weird creep. But here, he's supposed to be a cad.
Yeah, this is the character that The Wedding Planner character should have been. And
right.
It would work better. Does he do your move where he moves the hair out of the lady's face in this one that you recall?
Yes, he does. It happens.
McConaughey's rom-com go-to.
They are on the ferry,
hey,
I
baby,
believe.
There's some hair in your face. I'm so sexy and non-threatening. Let me just move that for you.
They're on the ferry, and it's like one of the few charming moments in this cursed film, and he kind of pushes her hair back.
Wendy, who was forced to watch all these movies with me, we were watching this, and it has been to New York, but hadn't spent a lot of time there. It's never been to Staten Island.
Mm.
And they're on, like, they have this beautiful lake house, and she's like, is that what Staten Island is like? And I was like, I don't know. I lived in New York for 3 years. I never made it to Staten Island.
I mean, I think for rich white people, yeah.
It looks
great.
It's like.
It looked nice. It's just a ferry ride away from Manhattan.
Now, you know, Wu-Tang Clan is from Staten Island. This is not a solely white enclave. New York City is a melting pot of all peoples and cultures.
Well, what did you think about Matthew McConaughey in this film?
Yeah, I thought this was again, this is the period in his career when he's got, like, there's all the McConaughey go-tos. If you're a director, you hire him to do all these things. Yeah, and I think it throws it right over the plate. Like, he does all the McConaughey stuff.
Yeah.
You like him even though you sympathize with him, you like him, you root for him, even though he's not, you know, maybe a particularly great person, the character.
But he doesn't, here's the thing, they don't really give him any flaws. We are told that, yeah, he sleeps around
yes.
a lot.
Yeah,
but
that's not a flaw, and that's a wink and like makes him cooler.
Exactly. It's like a little bit of a nod. We don't, there's nothing about him that's actually objectionable.
And see, this is the, like, we've talked about many times, like, McConaughey is genuinely a really great actor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is this really long period in his career where it seems like he didn't even want to bother acting. He's just like, you know what? Give me movies where I can just show up and all right, and get my paycheck. Yeah, you're right. The character has no flaws. The character has no real conflicts. There's nothing for him to do as an actor.
No, this is what I'm saying, though. Like, I'm not even sure how much of this is acting or just some
yeah, it's
natural
just
charm.
Abs and hair and charisma.
And he does all of that really well. I do think that the part where he has to be, what's his name again?
The character's name?
Yeah.
Who could possibly remember?
Ben. His name is Ben.
Are you picking a name, or do you think that actually was the character's name?
His name is Ben. Name? They right. have weird alliterative names. Like, she's an AA and he's a BB. Like,
that's a deep cut. I don't even remember the character's name at all, much less the alliterative initials.
I literally watched it 10 minutes ago.
Oh, you watched it today? You were cramming. That's why you're so mad.
I'm heated.
What was the... So you felt McConaughey delivered in this film.
Right. Sorry, to get back to the point, which is that when he has to be Ben, he is as weird and stiff as he needs to be. But again, the heart of this movie is this, like, brief sojourn that they take to Staten Island. And that really, to me, is Matthew McConaughey just being Matthew McConaughey. And he is charming and funny.
Yeah, he's picking up
and
the kid,
awesome.
His nephew,
yeah.
He's hugging his dad, and he's like, oh man, y'all, this is my hot new girlfriend. Oh, I love y'all, and y'all love her.
Terrible impression.
Spot on impression.
But
people are like, oh shit, is McConaughey on the podcast? Oh no, it's Brian. Was there a particular moment was it the family scene? Would you feel like that was the McConaughey moment of the film?
The most Matthew McConaughey of this moment is where he picks up this random baby and then sniffs its butt.
Why does that happen?
They go to the house in Staten Island and...
That's not a random baby. That's his cop brother's kid. Oh, also, it's so like... He's like, it's so like white, ethnic, old school. His brother's a cop and his dad's a fisherman. His mom's somehow from Texas.
But he's an ad executive, right? Like,
yeah, he made it. He's in Manhattan.
Right. They want you to want money, but still be okay with being poor.
Dude has a two-story apartment in Manhattan. His family's not poor.
They're not poor.
They're like salt of the earth. They're working-class
working
heroes.
Working class, yeah. Right. But that's the most Matthew McConaughey moment for me in this film, which is where he like picks up this baby, which I assume is a nephew or
something.
It's
his brother's kid. They say it in the thing.
And he sees that the diaper needs to be changed, and then he
oh,
scurries
yeah, that's,
off
that's,
to...
Yeah.
change the diaper, and she is instantly smitten by that very low bar.
So domestic. He's changing a dirty baby's diaper.
So, guys, if you're out there trying to land a lady, just find a baby and change its diaper.
Now, where does this film rank for you in the McConaughey canon?
Oh, my God. It is so low.
It is a very popular. So, no, I don't know if this, your personal canon may differ from the objective canon.
Oh, that's true.
This is a very popular McConaughey romantic comedy.
I don't care where this ranks in the Matthew McConaughey canon for other people.
You're so angry at this movie.
My visceral hatred for this film makes me think that if it ranks high for people in their Matthew McConaughey canon, which I assume that it does because it's on TV all the time and a lot of people associate him in this film.
We talked about this about The Wedding Planner. There's a certain, like, if you were never a 14-year-old girl watching cable on Sunday afternoon, which I was not, you've missed your appreciation for this entire body of limpid work.
I think you're right, though, in that personally it differs for me, but a lot of people view McConaughey through the lens of all of these romantic comedies. So he's taken that baggage with him to Interstellar, where he now plays like a dad.
Yeah, if you just take McConaughey, like again, you Phil McConaughey did great work in this film. Yeah, I feel like this is, of all these romantic comedy roles, and I haven't seen them all, this is the text, right? Mm-hmm. This is the McConaughey you want in your romantic comedy. Because there's nothing to bounce off. He's doing all his stuff.
It's fine for what it is, but now that you have seen what he's capable of doing, it's so disappointing to watch a film like this.
Yeah, when you watch something like Interstellar, which we went on and on about last week, and then you watch this, you're like, man, what, dude wasted so much time doing this garbage.
Yeah, and maybe it wasn't his choice. Maybe people refused to see him as any other thing, right? Like, they had put him in this box, and this is the box that he stayed in.
No, I think he... And we should probably do more research on our topic or our
podcast.
No,
why? That's too much.
I feel like he has even acknowledged, like, oh, you know, if he wasn't challenging himself as a... He wasn't making challenging choices for this period of his career.
Which is a shame.
We like to talk about the MVP of the film.
Yes.
I hesitate to open that can of worms.
I understand now how you must have felt about The Lake House and The Wedding Planner, two movies that you despised.
Well, but I can appreciate that you have ideological grounds upon which to dislike this film, whereas my dislike is more like narrative of those other films.
I am trying to think of an MVP, but I'm going to want you to go first.
Well, mine's easy. It's Annie Parise as the bland best friend because she's so cute. My crush came right back out. I was like, oh, right, the really cute ADA from Law & Order.
That's, the MVP for the movie for me is going to be his family. Because
I thought you were going to say Catherine Hahn.
I do like Catherine Hahn, but she's just written so fucking annoying. Sorry.
Right.
And that, there's no reason she needs to be wearing that frumpy moo-moo nightgown in the opening scene.
I really bumped on that
choice. That's just a kick in the nuts.
Yeah, one of the opening scenes in the movie is Annie Parise and Kate Hudson are like, oh my God, our mess friend is going to miss the staff meeting. She's at home bawling over a guy she barely knows. They go to her, and she is like a 25-year-old hot New Yorker who works at a magazine, and she's wearing like this grandma Omaha farm girl nightie.
In the middle of summer.
Yeah, it's just a strange choice.
You're supposed to think that she's a little needy and a little weird and frumpy and desperate.
Yeah, it's a comedic choice.
It's
I guess
a comedic choice, but it's a lazy comedic choice.
Yeah, it's not funny. It's dumb.
So no.
And even like that, like, yeah, you're right. The character is, it's not a like broad comedy. I mean, they could have taken that character and made her less overtly like silly and weepy and just like she takes things too far, and like they didn't have to do that with her.
Right. It's a kind of a cliche, but almost weirdly disrespectful for how great Catherine Hahn is.
Catherine Hahn was done wrong.
In
this movie.
And again, like Catherine Hahn could have been played by Judy Greer, who like holds the mantle of romantic comedy best friend. But no, my MVP is
his family
because they get very limited screen time, but You earn very quickly, you're like, oh, this is a cute little unit.
But it's so, like in The Wedding Planner, they make him a pediatrician, right? It's such a hack. It's you love baby doctors. And I think this family is the pediatrician of this movie. They're like, right, like, we need Andy to see, like, oh, he's not just handsome. He's a salt of the earth. He loves his family, changes the baby diaper. So it's, again, I agree that scene is nice. It's enjoyable. But it's a little cheap. It's the baby Yoda of this movie. It's like, hey, I know exactly what your buttons are, and I'm going to punch them real hard.
All right. I'm going to say
He's got a cop brother. Come on.
No. That's not his brother.
His dad was in. That's his brother.
It's his brother-in-law. That man.
Oh, well, whatever. What's the difference?
That man looks nothing. Yeah, no,
he's
like...
frumpy. And like he also just so you know, he's a cop brother. He's wearing his like beat cop uniform. Well, he's at a family thing on a Sunday. Why has he got his like gun and his nightstick and his hat?
Fine, then I'm gonna change my movie MVP to the dog that she bought him on the third date.
You can keep it as the family. I appreciate your instinct here.
I think that the mom and dad, like, it's very limited screen time. They do such a nice job with that little. That's the only part of the movie I could.
Yeah, there's
stomach.
You could see there's a different romantic comedy centered on that scene that these two are in.
And it would have been really well. There's also another good Matthew McConaughey moment, which is when she does that like cute seductive thing where she like lifts her arms up and she's like, "Hey, take my top off."
Yeah, but they're doing it in his parents' bath. Like, they've both got apartments in the city. Why did they wait till they're in his parents' tiny bathroom to get naked?
Like, that's the grossest thing I could.
Yeah, that is deeply not hot.
But then he does the same move, right? Like, he flips it around on her and is like, "Hey, take off my shirt."
Yeah, but they lost me when they did it in his mom's little bathroom.
That's
with her,
movie.
Like, big mom bra drawing on the back of the door. little embroidered cozy over the tissue box.
I don't understand why she's so sad in that film. Like, does she not have a family? Is she an orphan?
Kate Hudson?
Yeah.
Is she sad?
She gets really moved by being with his family.
Yeah, that's true. And again, like, that would have been easy to set up and pay off better. If you take 2 minutes to establish that, like, she's not close to her own family or her, you know, something. Yeah, you're right. Like, they didn't set up why she's so moved by this thing.
No.
Like, I guess she's seeing him in a different light and now she likes him even more. But yeah, you're right.
So yeah, this ranks incredibly low for me. Super unpleasant.
This movie
unpleasant.
Is bullshit. I'm so mad now about. I was tricked. How to lose it. My expectations were low, and the movie cleared them. But then I learned it was a trap.
I feel so bad. I hate being the person that does this, but.
Why? Who cares? It's just a stupid romantic comedy from 17 years ago.
I know,
and you're right about it.
I think that we have we exhausted this film?
I think so.
I don't think I have anything else to say about
it. Yeah, you left it all in the field.
I did. I apologize. Well, I was due a good shrieking into the mic.
Cathartic inflammation.
All right. Brian, what do we have coming up next week?
Next week is a controversial choice.
Ooh.
On the McConaughey season of 10 movies. One of my favorite McConaughey films, Sing, the 2017 animated feature where Matthew McConaughey voices a koala bear who puts on a show. It is one of my 7-year-old daughter's favorite movies. And or at least was when she was a couple years younger. And of all the many like sort of big cartoon movies that I've watched as a parent, this, with the possible exception of Moana, Sing is my favorite. And I think McConaughey does a great job in it. And I think the character is a central McConaughey character type. Hemel does not want to watch the movie because she doesn't want to watch a cartoon.
So. You're setting up really, really high expectations for this film for me. I've never seen it before. I assume it's a kids' movie.
It's a kids' movie, yeah.
About stuff.
It's a kids' movie about a singing competition.
I imagine that a lot of people have actually seen this movie, even if you don't have kids.
I don't know. I don't think it's like a Pixar movie everybody goes to see no matter what. And mm-hmm. They're like, oh my God, I don't have kids, but I saw Pixar. I love it. This is not, I think, I don't even know who made it. It's not a Pixar film.
But it's worth watching.
Well, you know what? I don't know. You're going to have to watch it, and we'll see.
All right. Well, join us next week when we talk about Sing, and if there is a feminist critique to be made about it, you can be
sure
that I will be the one to do it. So, thank you guys, as always, for listening to us. And please remember that if you do like this podcast, you can rate and review us on your podcast listening app of choice, and be sure to share it with your friends.
Share it with your friends. Listen, your friends are... right now sitting down to watch How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and thinking, maybe this will teach me about how I can be a woman in today's modern world. They're walking into a trap, people. You need to help them, rescue them, give them this podcast, and they will see under the hood. And there is an engine full of dirt and grime and lowered expectations in there. You can get them out of that.
Oh my God. I had something else to say. Yes, follow us. We are on Twitter @10movies.
All
think that's it.
I think that's it.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We'll see you next week to talk about Sing.